In Luke chapter 23 this morning, we're reading about a man called Herod. Herod Antipas, his name fully. Herod, who had a final opportunity to repent as the Lord Jesus Christ stood before him. But he did not take it. On a Good Friday morning, the Lord Jesus Christ stood on trial before this man, Herod. And what happened on that day led directly to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also a warning to us because it sealed Herod's eternal destiny. And just by way of introduction, as we're considering these verses in Luke's Gospel this morning, there are three facts we need to be aware of that will help to put it into perspective. First of all, this Herod, Herod Antipas, was the son of another Herod, the man Herod called in history Herod the Great. But perhaps a better name for Herod the Great would be Herod the Butcher. Herod the Great, Herod the Butcher, was a cruel, bloodthirsty man who had no value on human life. And he's the Herod who ordered the slaughter of the baby boys in Bethlehem shortly after Jesus was born. So that Herod, Herod, I'm calling him Herod the Butcher, is the father of this Herod that we're thinking about this morning. And when that Herod, Herod the Butcher, died, his kingdom was divided into four parts. And this Herod, Herod Antipas, ruled over one part of his father's kingdom. Just by way of introduction, also, we need to think of Herod Antipas as the governor of Galilee. Galilee and Perea. And that's why when Pilate heard that Jesus was a Galilean, he thought that he would send Jesus to Herod. You notice how Luke puts it in verse 7, that when Pilate knew that Jesus belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, that means Herod's authority, Herod's rule, Galilee, he sent Jesus to Herod, because Herod was also in Jerusalem at that time because of the Passover. So Herod bore the title king, but he was certainly not of the line of King David. This Herod was of the line of Esau. Herod was an Edomite. And you find sometimes Esau, Edom, those terms are used interchangeably in the Bible. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the king of the line of David, standing before Herod, the king in the line of Esau. And the one king, Herod, wants all the pomp and show of being a king, and he acknowledged and wanted to parade himself as king. The other king, the real king, will soon have a crown of thorns upon his head. And then thirdly, by way of introduction, this Herod Antipas is the only man that I can think of that the Lord Jesus Christ refused to speak to this man. And when we think about that for a moment, that Jesus, we read in Luke chapter 23, verse 9, that though he was asked many questions by Herod, but Jesus answered him nothing. Do we not often speak of the Lord Jesus as the friend of sinners? Didn't he let a prostitute wet his feet with her tears? And Jesus declared to her that her sins were forgiven. When a blind man cried out for mercy, didn't the Lord Jesus Christ stop on his journey and heal him? There was a tax collector named Zacchaeus who climbed up a tree to catch sight of Jesus. And didn't again the Lord Jesus Christ stop and speak with Zacchaeus, call him down from the tree, even went to his house for a meal? Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ welcome sinners? And yet we read, he didn't say a word to Herod. Why this silence? of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Herod is seldom mentioned in the New Testament, but when we do read of him, we discover that Herod was spiritually curious, perhaps, but arrogant, easily seduced, prone to rash statements. And here, particularly, Herod is after this cheap thrill for a moment. He wants Jesus to do some miracle for him. But Herod was unwilling to commit himself to the truth. And so Jesus said nothing. So I want to look at Herod this morning and show the warning that we see in Herod's downward descent to hell, as Herod is a thrill seeker. He's after a temporary thrill with Jesus standing before him, but he doesn't seriously seek the truth. And I'm saying this morning, we need to be those who seriously seek the truth as it is in Jesus. So we're going to get to Luke chapter 23. But I want to read first some verses from some of the Gospels, which will help us to understand what is happening here in Luke chapter 23. And I want to begin with Mark chapter 6 and verses 17 to 20. Because we have to go back to understand that this Herod had first heard words of truth from John the Baptist. So this is Mark chapter 6 and verse 17. Herod sent and laid hold of John the Baptist, and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he, Herod, had married her. Herod had married his brother's wife. Because John the Baptist, had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Therefore Herodias held it against John the Baptist and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. So there we read of two men who seemed perhaps to have nothing in common. Herod, this powerful, egocentric man, yet centered on his own personal pleasure. And by way of contrast, John the Baptist, the unusual man who lived in the desert, wore rough camel's hair, ate locusts and wild honey. Great crowds flocked to hear John the Baptist preach, and he called people to repentance, to turn from their sins to God. And somehow Herod heard John the Baptist. And Herod, in a way, admired John the Baptist. But Herod had an eye for his brother's wife, this woman named Herodias. To make matters worse, she was also his niece. So in a sinful and immoral way, Herod took Herodias as his wife, he took his brother's wife, and committed both adultery and incest with her. And John the Baptist confronted Herod, calling on him to repent, telling him what he had done was sinful and wrong. And John the Baptist appears to have repeated that message over and again to Herod. And Herod was even willing to listen for a while. And he had John the Baptist put in prison to protect John the Baptist from the schemes of Herodias, his wife, who wanted to kill John the Baptist. So you get this picture of a troubled soul. One part of Herod realized that John the Baptist spoke truth. Unlike the sycophants, the creeps who surrounded him, John the Baptist was willing to face Herod with the truth. And Herod was willing to listen. But there was another part of him that desired what God said he could not have. He wanted a woman married to another man. So Herod did what many before and many after him, and what many still today try to do. Herod tried to have it both ways. He put John the Baptist in prison to protect him. But he took Herodias as his wife to fulfill his desires. But you can't live in the middle like that with a foot in both camps forever. Sooner or later, you have to make a choice. And over the years, I've spoken to many people who have talked to me about becoming a Christian, but have said to me they want to have a foot in both camps. They want to have a foot in the Christian camp, but they want to have a foot in the world as well. And often they've said to me that they want to taste what the world has got to offer before they can fully commit themselves to God. But Herod shows us, and perhaps you can see this morning, the fatal flaw in that reasoning. What a small view of God it displays. I'm pleading with you this morning not to take it for granted that you will be nearer to God tomorrow. That you'll be more serious tomorrow about receiving Jesus Christ than you are today. Don't take it for granted that tomorrow everything will be fine. No, today is the day of salvation, says the Bible. Herod evidently heard the truth from John the Baptist. But he made this mistake of saying he'd have a foot in both camps. Perhaps tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. And truth demands a decision. But Herod wanted to live with divided loyalties, with a foot in both camps. The second thing Mark tells us, that not only did Herod want to live with divided loyalties, but he also made a very foolish promise. Because let's listen to what Mark chapter 6 tells us happened on an opportune day, we read. This is Mark 6 verse 21. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the chief officers and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." He also swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. See, Herod would not give up Herodias. Here's this double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He'd heard the truth, but he delayed any response to it. He's in no man's land. And then an opportune day came, Mark says, when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast. And the daughter of Herodias, a young girl named Salome, came in to dance before the king. The indication is that it was a sensual performance. And Herod makes this remarkably stupid promise. "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. Whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." And when the girl asked for the head of John the Baptist, Herod was shocked, but he was not willing to lose face. So the severed head of John the Baptist was presented to the girl, who presented it to the mother, who perhaps smiled, even though it was such a bloody sight. And it appears that Herod now, having heard the truth from John the Baptist over and over, his conscience has become harder. And when he makes this foolish promise, he is not willing to lose face, but is willing even to have John the Baptist's head brought on a platter to the girl who's danced for him. How dangerous it is to hear the truth of God's word, and yet your conscience and mind and heart become hardened to it. There are those who say sometimes to me that they can't become a Christian because first they want to have some fun. They want to party. They want to have a good time. They say to me, perhaps one day they'll settle down, perhaps one day come to church, but they can't entrust themselves to Jesus Christ at this time. And sometimes people say to me, and Kensett Evangelical Church, it's boring, you just preach the Bible. You want to go somewhere more exciting, more dynamic, more fun, cool music, exciting special effects. And especially, not hear a preacher who tells people they need to repent. No, never say that. Never say repent, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, there are many churches, so-called today, who will tell people that they can have God without cramping their style at all. Keep their sinful activities. And instead of preaching Bible truth, which confronts people with sin, the preacher becomes more like a marketing agent. Now you see the problem. John the Baptist was calling on Herod to repent, and as Herod refused to hear and turn to God and turn from his sin, his hard conscience, mind, heart result in this foolish promise, and then he's unwilling to lose face. And we hear the call of Jesus Christ himself this morning. Hear the words of a preacher, hear the words of Jesus. If anyone desires to come after me, said Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? So Herod was a man with divided loyalties. He was a man who made these foolish promises. Luke then tells us that he was a man with guilty fears. And we've read of that already in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verses 7 to 9. Let me read Luke chapter 9 and verses 7 to 9. Herod said, when he heard of what was being done by Jesus, Herod said, John, I have beheaded. But who is this of whom I've heard such things? Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by Jesus. And he was perplexed because it was said by some that John the Baptist, had risen from the dead. And by some that Elijah had appeared. And by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. But here's Herod. Herod said, John, I've beheaded. But who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. It may be that Herod had some regrets about that foolish promise that led to the death of John the Baptist. But now the blood of a righteous man is on his hands, and he has guilty fears. It seems he even has the fear that perhaps the man he beheaded has come back to haunt him. You see, light received leads to more light. But light rejected leads to more darkness and guilty fears. You harden your heart against God, your heart becomes harder and guilty fears arise. It's why the Bible says, as you hear the call of God in the gospel this morning, do not harden your heart. If you've not yet trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not harden your heart. Don't turn from Jesus Christ. The only one who can bring freedom and new life and peace to your heart. That's why the hymn we sang earlier reminds us, have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Don't harden your heart. If you sang these words, let me just read them to you again, because they're very searching. In the hymn that we sang, have you heard the Saviour, Jesus, calling all to leave and follow him? Have you felt his person drawing with compulsion lives to end. Have you felt that call of Jesus on your life this morning? Hearken to his invitation, to the music of God's grace. Don't harden your heart. Let the peace of God's salvation fill your soul and love embrace. Do not harden your heart. Herod, he hardened his heart. Divided loyalties led to foolish promises, led to guilty fears. And then Luke says, led also to evil plans. Let me read Luke chapter 13. We'll get to Luke 23. Don't panic. We will get there. But Luke chapter 13 tells us that Herod's heart becomes harder and harder. Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus, Luke 13 verse 31, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem.'" At length, Herod's mood changes. He comes to think of the Lord Jesus Christ as a dangerous nuisance. Perhaps he should put him to death. And when the Pharisees warned the Lord Jesus Christ to leave the area for his own safety, here are the only words that are directed to Herod by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not directly, but he says, "Go tell that fox." Now, in Jewish thinking, to call someone a fox meant they were clever, crafty, sly, tricky, stealthy, deceitful. The Lord Jesus Christ saw beyond Herod's superficial interest and discerned underneath that hard, scheming heart. Now, the message to Herod was simple, that no matter how hard Herod tried, Jesus Christ had come to do God's will, and no one would stop him until his work was done and he would eventually lay down his life at the cross. But why did Herod want to kill Jesus then? Well, because Herod could not control Jesus, he feared. And he seemed to want to destroy. And that led to that final showdown that we've read in Luke chapter 23 this morning. So it's now early on Good Friday. The Lord Jesus Christ had been arrested by the Jews sometime around midnight. He'd gone from one hearing to another. When you put the gospel accounts together, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, hearings before Annas and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, the mockery, the insults, beaten, false accusations. The Jews wanted Jesus dead, but only the Romans had the power of capital punishment. And so Jesus ended up before Pontius Pilate, and then Pilate, who could have carried out the death penalty. When Pilate heard that Jesus was from Galilee, Pilate, who didn't really want to put Jesus to death, thought he could see a way out of the problem. Herod handled matters in Galilee. Herod was in Jerusalem. Pilate would send Jesus to Herod. Let Herod handle this difficult problem. And so at last Herod met Jesus, but we read it didn't work out the way Herod had anticipated. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he desired for a long time to see him, because he'd heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. So you see, Herod the thrill seeker again. "Jesus, I hear that you can turn water into wine. Here's a basin of water. Do your stuff." "Or, Jesus, I've heard that you can walk on water. There's a pool in my palace." And on it went, Herod firing question after question. And you see again, Herod the thrill seeker, but not a serious seeker of truth. And Herod was shocked and disappointed when the Lord Jesus Christ refused to speak to him. No one had treated Herod like that before. And that embarrassment turned then to anger. There are times in life when silence speaks louder than words. And this is one of those occasions. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that Herod was just a temporary thrill seeker. His questions did not come from an honest heart, did not come from a heart seeking truth. So the Lord Jesus Christ answered him nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ opened not his mouth. For Proverbs 26 verse 4 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him." In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ warned against casting pearls before swine or giving what is holy to the dogs. And Herod, it seemed, had become so hard-hearted. And Jesus discerned that hard heart and his spiritual blindness, that nothing could be said and nothing would be said. When Herod, in that downward spiral, as his heart became harder and harder, by his silence here, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, Herod did not want to hear the truth. He hadn't wanted to hear the truth from John the Baptist. And he still doesn't want to hear the truth even from Jesus, the Son of God. Herod has said no to the truth. So now Herod would not hear the truth. And that frivolous curiosity led then to public mocking. Verse 10, and the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently, strongly accused Jesus. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him, clothed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. When Jesus refused to answer, Herod and his soldiers joined in with mocking the Son of God. And there we see the true character of Herod. There's no genuine spiritual interest. Hard-hearted. And when Jesus refused to play his game, he wanted to see a miracle. How quickly Herod's mood changed. It's sad to say there are people still who play games with religion. People who want to take from all the religions and philosophies of the world and believe only what suits them. That's a very popular game these days. To say that you're spiritual, but you'll have a pick and mix religion. Everything that suits you, but nothing that challenges you. And you can go to any bookshop now and have whole sections of books dedicated to feeding that spiritual game. You can read about heaven from people who say they've actually been there. You can learn about God from people who say that they've had interviews with him. You can read book by channelers who can say they can connect you with all sorts of spiritual beings. You can attend seminars, go on retreats, drop in on meditation events. You can pick and choose what works for you. Never be challenged by the word of God. No gospel. No law of God, no call to repentance. Play the game of religion. That's what Herod was doing. And Jesus knew it. And it's a warning to us. Don't play games with God. And so that leads finally to what we might call convenient weakness. Herod sent him back, sent Jesus back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other. For previously, they had been at enmity. They'd been against each other. Then Pilate, when he'd called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. Indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him." Pilate was puzzled, wasn't he? He had looked for a way to release Jesus. But Herod had not come to his aid. And yet both Herod and Pilate pronounced Jesus innocent of the charges brought against him. It may be that Herod shares the greater guilt in that, because Herod knew more than Pilate. Herod had heard the preaching of John the Baptist again and again. To whom much is given, much is required. But Herod had murdered John the Baptist. And when Jesus wouldn't play Herod's games, Herod treated Jesus like a carnival sideshow. That silence of Jesus was the sentence of judgment on Herod. So we need to hear this morning that light accepted leads to more light. Light rejected leads to darkness. Don't say to me this morning, I'll trust in Jesus tomorrow. I'll live for Jesus after I've had some fun. I'll become a Christian after I get married. I'll be a Christian someday when I finally settle down. Don't say to me, I'll think about Jesus, but I first want to have some fun and be a worldly thrill seeker and play games with religion. No, says the Bible, you can't come to God like that. Now is a perfect time for you to be serious about getting right with God through Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Herod heard the truth over and over and over again from John the Baptist. If he'd have believed the truth and turned to God, Herod could have known salvation. But you see, it's not enough to hear the truth. It's not enough even to know the truth. It's not enough even to like the truth. It's not even enough to listen to the truth over and over again. It's not even enough to have certain convictions about the truth. If that truth in the gospel doesn't lead you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's spiritually dangerous. It can lead to a hard heart. It can lead to a seared conscience. God sends the Holy Spirit this morning to convict us of sin, that we might turn in faith to Jesus Christ and call upon him from the heart for salvation. So this encounter of Herod with Jesus is saying to all of us this morning, it's dangerous to trifle with Jesus Christ. Don't play games with Jesus Christ. Do you want to know that God has freely pardoned all your sins? Then ask today from a serious, honest heart. The Jesus of the Bible saves sinners. He doesn't just offer salvation. He powerfully, effectively, irresistibly works salvation. He raises you from death and destruction and despair. He summons you this morning with a powerful calling. From darkness to light. He convicts of sin that you might in repentance cry out to him. He implants faith in your heart that you might be one with him. He pours out all the blessings of salvation into your life. He justifies you and gives you peace with God when you call on him from an honest heart. And when you do that, he gives you a new delight in the Bible, the Word of God. He dwells in you by the Holy Spirit. He bears fruit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit. And God will work in your heart and life to the end and eventually bring you to glory. He will raise your body from the power of death, and with every true Christian will give you a place in the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus is the one who saves his people from their sins. And this was the Jesus standing before this monarch, Herod, who had this past. Reprehensible, but whose future was unthinkable. Herod spent his time in Jesus' presence asking Jesus to do tricks for him. What folly. So I'm saying, don't play with religion. Cry out to God that God will pardon you your sins, and don't stop praying till God gives you that assurance that your sins are forgiven, that in Jesus Christ you have a Savior who has changed your heart and life and given you a new life, a new heart. A heart that now is for God. Light has come in. Truth has come in. Salvation has come in. Don't go the way of darkness, playing games with religion, just a temporary thrill seeker. No, this morning the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let's turn to God. Turn to God. He will abundantly pardon. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for the gospel day that bids all who will turn from sin to Jesus Christ to know the wonder of God's grace, his love, his mercy, and a forgiveness in Jesus Christ whereby all sins are cleansed, and a new life, a new heart, a new peace with God. Lord, we see the folly of Herod and what happened in his life when he hardened his heart and he had a seared conscience and he wanted to play games with Jesus Christ. Deliver us from such foolish ways. Give us a heart for God, even this morning. A heart that will seek after God wholeheartedly. We ask it and that you'll hear us, and by your Holy Spirit work in every heart this morning for Jesus' glory. Amen. We're going to sing as a closing hymn, number 469 in the hymn books. And no, not 469. Yes, the tune, yes. Let me get the words. Do we know the number of the hymn? 529, thank you. 529 in our hymn book. Above the voices of the world around me, my hopes and dreams, my cares and loves and fears, the long-awaited call of Christ has found me. The voice of Jesus echoes in my ears. We're going to sing to this tune, 469, which is London Derriere. But we're going to sing the words, 529, which ends, Lord, I believe, I come in faith because your promise stands. So we'll stand to sing, 529. pray. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people, and not only today, but even forevermore. Amen.